Completely original spur of the moment introduction. The talk today is on Fortran for the 8080. And the particular Fortran is Fort80, which you've probably seen advertised. It's from Unified Technologies in Canada. The original title of this talk, which changed several times, was an evaluation or a comparison between BASIC and Fortran. Yesterday, could we close that door, please? Yesterday, when I was speaking to people down on the fair floor, I found that the major interest was not just in a comparison between BASIC and Fortran. Most people and knew the differences to expect. But what they wanted to know is, what's the difference between this Fortran and ANSI standard Fortran 4? So I'm going to devote part of the talk to each. I will entertain questions at the end. We'll try to leave 15 minutes for that. So if you have any questions, please jot them down, and we'll go into them. I'm not going to discuss any particular BASIC. The one that I'm most familiar with is MITS BASIC. I've seen several. I consider MITS to be perhaps the fastest, most comprehensive, most efficient. It has its drawbacks. Everybody's does. They're all different. And anything I say is broad generality. If I go against what you know you have on your machine, OK. And I'm not going to compare the syntax of BASIC with Fortran. Most of you probably know that. It's the difference between a for next loop and a do loop. I will compare some of the fixed aspects. For instance, memory. Currently, Fortran is configured to require 20K bytes of memory. It's going to be reduced to 16K bytes. This is the amount required for the compiler to be present to compile a medium-sized program with a medium to large-sized symbol table. The figures I've quoted allow 4,000 bytes storage for the symbol table. Of course, the various BASICs require 4, 5, 7, 8, 11, 12, and 16K. I think Itty Bitty BASIC has gotten even smaller than that. So you can see there's a definite advantage that BASIC has in terms of the size of the computer needed to run it. However, Fortran has an advantage in this line in that the compiled program can take very little space. And I'll show you my first view graph. How did you put this up? I'll discuss it from back here. Different parts of Fortran take different amounts of memory. If you compile a program that has no floating point computations in it, has no formatted input or output to a read or a write statement, then you have no overhead. The minute you use integer, multiply, or divide, it adds a 73-byte subroutine. The minute you use any floating point operation, all the floating point operations come in. Add, subtract, multiply, and divide. Single and double precision. That's 1,500 bytes, approximately. These change from one version of Fortran to another. Current version is 3.2E. Changes weekly. If you do a read, all the reads are free format. There's a 650-byte routine that comes in so that anything you type in can be converted to a fixed or floating point number or an exponential notation or a hexadecimal number. Write formatted, another 925. So you can see there's about a 3K byte BASIC system that's required. Once you've got that in, you're really free and clear, because now everything takes very little space above that 3K. A 4K system can store a fairly large fairly large Fortran program. And 8K, I haven't written one that large yet. For instance, a do loop takes 31 bytes of overhead. A read statement, 20 bytes plus, depending on how many variables you're trying to read with that one read statement. The simple assignment statement takes 10 bytes or so. A simple addition takes 10 bytes or so. Now that's true whether it's floating point or fixed point. The fixed point actually just moves the bytes immediately. The floating point calls a subroutine that does this. The format statements take about a background of 10 bytes plus however much you've got in that format statement. And the write statement, 30 bytes plus however much you're taking in however many variables you're printing out and whether you have do loops within your printout statement. That's all for that slide. Again, on memory, most basics start at zero and go up. Fortran also starts at zero and goes up. In the compiler, the compiled program can be set to be located anywhere in memory. It can be set to locate at the bottom or at the top or in the middle. And you can also separate the program portion from the data portion. And the advantage of this is that the program portion should never change. And the data portion, of course, must change. This is where your variables are stored, and they wouldn't be variables if they were fixed. Consequently, if you write a program and you think it's good, you like it, you can put it in ROM under Fortran. This is something that is not currently implemented in any BASIC I've seen. There are BASICs where the interpreter will sit in ROM, but I've not yet seen a version or the documentation of a version where the program itself to be interpreted will also sit in ROM. This is perhaps an aside that the hobbyist won't appreciate as much as the industrialist. In GE, we appreciate this very much because we build systems around an SBC 80 card where you have 4K of ROM, 1K of RAM, and it's very, very cheap, relatively speaking. So this is sort of ideal for us. Debug of a program is where Fortran perhaps is at its worst comparison to BASIC. BASIC is just great to debug. An interpreter is just great to debug. You can just read out those variables, change anything immediately, write a new step in the program or a debug step. Some BASICs even have a trace function. Fortran, as a compiler, does not have any of that. At compile time, you get an error listing that tells you at each line if it encountered an error in the compilation. But there is not much in the way of a runtime error detection or error correction method. It's as if you were running machine language, which indeed you are. There is a symbol table that is printed out, and there is an option when you run the Fortran compiler to print out the entire source code. Under the source code, the entire hex code that is compiled. So you can figure out exactly what's going on. That plus knowing where the variables are located can allow you to change anything you need to. Compile time. Well, BASIC is an interpreter. It's not strictly an interpreter. It does compilation. Each time you type in a line, for instance, in MIT's BASIC, it is compressed somewhat, and that is compilation. So the compilation time with BASIC is practically nothing. The compile time in Fortran is mainly dependent on the speed of your I.O. devices. Given a fast floppy disk drive and given a very fast CRT or line printer, you're talking somewhere between 50 and 200 lines a minute. It depends on the context that you're working with. We had an 800 line program that compiled in about 5 minutes. You can link to machine language in Fortran simply by embedding inline code. And I'll show you an example of that towards the end. This is a nice feature that you don't have in BASIC that you may run up against that you want when you want to rotate something or you want to exclusive OR it. And you may have to go through a lot of manipulation in BASIC depending on the implementation of BASIC you have. In most BASICs, there is a user routine which allows you to link to one machine language program. The Fortran, of course, allows you to link to as many as you want via calls or jumps with or without parameter passing. It's whatever you want to put in that inline code. Basics usually support one I/O device, a CRT terminal, or a teletype, and sometimes, in addition, a cassette recorder for storage of programs, sometimes also storage of data. A very fancy one will support a disk drive and have special basic routines to I/O data and variables to a disk drive. The Fortran supports your basic console input and output. It also supports two different devices, a punch and a listing device. If you wish to write machine language drivers, this particular 480 will allow you to use as many different drivers as you want. You can set up a 20 CRT operating system and address each one of them individually under Fortran through the exact same formatted write statements. All you do is, instead of saying write to device 1, 2, or 3, instead of 1, 2, or 3, you put in the hex code of the location of your machine language ASCII driver, which is no more than a sent status to see if it's ready and then put the byte out. One of the greatest things that I love about BASIC is that it has input and output and peak and poke statements. And that's just great, because I can get up and running immediately. With Fortran, you do have this capability. There's an input statement, there's an output statement, and they work approximately the same way they do in BASIC. You would say output of, and then a port number, is equal to some expression. When it evaluates that expression, it sends that byte that has been evaluated out to that port. And again, calling input of some port number results in a byte of data being brought in from that and being assigned to the value of the input statement in the evaluation of the arithmetic statement. Peak and poke in BASIC are fairly easy to use. You just give it the address and what you want to peak or poke. In Fortran, you need a two-line statement at the beginning of your program that will say integer times 1, compiler 3 directive, which says this is where I'm assigning this particular variable to sit at location 2. And then you say integer times 1, an array called memory, parenthesis 2, and parenthesis. This causes an array called memory to be a single byte array, and if you call, if you say memory 5 equals memory 12 plus 3, it'll go and take the byte out of address 12, add 3 to it, and put it in location 5. Same difference, more straightforward or less straightforward, depending on your orientation. One place where Fortran stands out above BASIC is interrupt handling. In BASIC, some BASICs allow no interrupts to occur because those reset make very nice one-byte subroutine calls. Very convenient. Some, like the MITS BASIC, allow you one interrupt routine. Some will allow you more than that. All of the interrupt routines, however, must be processed in machine language code. In Fortran, you write an interrupt service routine the same way you write a subroutine. You just say interrupt 3, and then you start writing a Fortran routine. As soon as an interrupt 3 occurs, it executes that routine, returns to your calling program. That routine can have access to all the variables in your program. As a result, you can write a real-time operating system that's completely written in Fortran with interrupt handlers for multiple interrupting devices, multiple interrupts on the same priority by software scanning. All of this is very nice. The nitty-gritty that most people ask is, well, it's so good, how fast is it? The comparison standard here is MITS 12K BASIC. Both were run on the same machine, which is an MDS system. And there are four data types in Fortran: single byte and double byte integer arithmetic, 4 and 8 byte floating point variables. BASIC, I only worked with the 4 byte floating point variable because that's what's most common. And besides, I didn't have that much room on the graph. Some of these aren't very accurate, especially when they're very small numbers, because I just didn't have much way to accurately measure them except running do loops and then subtracting the empty do loop time out from the standard time. But as you can see, add and subtract are, well, not instantaneous, but very, very fast, certainly for integer arithmetic. And you get up to the real times 8 and 4. Now, all the column real times 8 and 4 for Fortran are the same, because in the current implementation, all arithmetic is done in double precision. If you have two single precision floating points multiplied by each other, it's done in double precision, and the excess is thrown away, truncated off. Fortran is actually twice as fast as BASIC in a floating point add or subtract. However, when you get to a multiply, because BASIC is using a smaller number, it's a little faster, 60% faster than Fortran. One thing I should point out here, if you're doing a multiply, you obviously have to also fetch the two variables. If you have a long BASIC program, you're going to have a long symbol table. And if your two variables are towards the end of that symbol table, BASIC has to search through the symbol table to find the variables. Consequently, an interpreter, these numbers for the arithmetic routines will go up as the program variable size, number of variables increases. Divide, again, 80% faster in BASIC than in Fortran, again because of the lower precision. Comparing a do loop to a for next loop, Fortran shines a little better. About 81 times as fast. Now, a called subroutine, as opposed to a go sub, nested three deep, where you just had call this subroutine and that subroutine, called this subroutine, which called that subroutine, which returned, which returned, which returned. 44 microseconds elapsed to run that in Fortran. Because the addresses have been compiled, it knows where to go. It doesn't have to search through the line numbers to find that subroutine. Especially if the subroutine occurs before the calling part, it has to go back to the beginning and search forward. A lengthy process. So 102 times as fast. Go to 133 times as fast. Comparison with a jump. Basically, now you're doing a floating point add or subtract, so you have that going for you. And it's a factor of about 2 faster in Fortran. That's all for that slide. I'm going to have to speed up a little bit here. The speed may not be important to Star Trek, but if you're writing video games in Fortran, or you're writing 3D tic-tac-toe games in Fortran, it becomes very important. Now we'll go to the ANSI standard Fortran 4. May I just show a hands, see a show of hands of people who are familiar moderately with Fortran 4 or what they think is ANSI standard? Maybe I shouldn't have talked about BASIC at all. Goodness. Okay. Just to show that I'm fair, we'll say the bad things about Fortran first. And I'm not saying Fortran is perfect. There are a lot of applications it's not perfect for. And a small hobbyist may be one of them, although it is becoming handier and more possible. There's no such thing as a common in Fort 80. However, you do have globals. And those who have worked with high-level languages and know about globals will probably choose globals over common statements if they have a choice. An equivalent statement can be duplicated with about the same amount of effort as an equivalent statement in regular Fortran 4. It simply requires a compiler 3 directive. You, instead of print punch, you can write 2, 100. You can say that 2 is the various output, are the various output devices. You do not have the nested parenthesis with a leading repeat number. The 3 parenthesis F10.5 is not allowed in a format statement. You have to write it out. However, you are allowed an unlimited number of continuation statements, so as long as your fingers hold out on the keys, you're okay. At the moment, you can only dimension a single dimension in an array, and I find that, yes, same to you, I find that the most inconvenient thing. That is coming, that you will get 2 and 3 variables. That's the first priority, Canada has assured me after I yelled at them. We at GE had this great thing. We were the first people to use it, and we were the first people to give feedback. So just about anything we wanted, Canada said, okay, we'll put it in. Nice. Formatted reads are coming also. I don't care about formatted. I like unformatted reads. I don't like to have to put something in I5 and have it go funny if it isn't in I5. That formatted reads was for punched cards. How many here have punched card systems? Yes. Encode, decode, backspace, and rewind are not implemented. There are not plans to implement them. Fix and float are not implemented at the moment as functions, but you do assignments, just like in Fortran 1.5. You end up with the same thing. Pardon? Data. Oh yes. Instead of a data statement, you have an initialization of data to an array. You can initialize an array in the same method as a data statement. Doesn't like it. Very unhappy. The other side of the coin. Obviously, ANSI wouldn't support enable and disable. If you disable the interrupts on the 370-158, they'd... People have found out how to do it. But not with Fortran. It supports interrupt routine processing. That's nice. There are 3 compiler directives, 1, 2, and 3. Clever arrangement. 1 tells it where the program starts. The program starts with 6 bytes, which are LXISP with something or other, and jump. And it jumps to compiler 2. And if there is no compiler 2, compiler 2 is compiler 1 plus 6. Compiler 1 and 2 tells you where the program comes up from, up meaning increasing numbers. Compiler 3 tells where RAM stops and where you want to go down from to assign your variables. Your variables are all assigned, your arrays, so forth, and then your stack comes below that. Again, this has the advantage, after you compile it, it says, I'm this big, put me in ROM. You can put him in ROM and stick the rest of it in RAM, or whatever. Input and output statements, I went over those briefly with BASIC. Inline code, it does not support mnemonics, but it does give you access to the addresses of your variables and of your statement lines. So you can say, and your subroutines. So you can pass parameters, you can LXIH with the address of X in this case, and now if you look at M, why M is the first byte of X. You can do .and, .or, .xor, .not. And these are enabled not only with logical variables, but with integer variables, which is an advantage. Carry parity, sign 0, and carry off, parity off, sign off, and 0 off are reserved words which allow you to look at the state of a bit, that particular status bit of the 8080. This is a strict 8080 implementation. Of course, it will work on the Z80 or the 8085, but it will not take advantage of anything special from them. In case you want to do something a little bit fancy, this is not too useful to me. Maybe it is to you. If you want to get fancy and you know what's going on inside those routines, then it's helpful. But if you assume that you know nothing about how Fortran compiles the program And that's what a high-level language should be. It shouldn't matter how it's implemented. You should write the code, and it's independent of the particular process. So that may be not too helpful. But oh my goodness, this is great. This is a long variable name. And the current lamp test status, I write programs now. They take 3 times as much space, but I don't have to write any documentation. Don't tell my manager I said that. I don't write much documentation. I write less documentation, and they're still readable. They're more readable now. Less comments, more names where you can't avoid it to know what it is. You're allowed 31 characters. It has to be unique within those 31 characters. You may be able to write 87 character long names, but the first 31 characters have to be unique. Yeah, I know. I can't even pronounce something that long. Intermediate assignment, which is sort of, I've got it now, can I store it instead of having to write 2 lines? Yes, you can. It's convenient, it's handy, I wouldn't recommend it to anybody who works with me, because I want to be able to take his program when he's done with it and with minimal effort put it on an interdata, which I don't like. Order-dependent globals, variables and subroutines. If you declare your variables at the beginning of a program, followed by your subroutines, followed by your main program, the variables that you declare before the subroutines or the program are common to all your routines. If instead you say subroutine able, then you declare your variable, integer times 3, ijk, at that point, those ij and k become local variables to that subroutine. Also, if you declare after an end statement from a subroutine, some variables, but before the next subroutine statement, it's now global to everything below it, nothing above it. The same thing occurs with subroutine names. So your subroutines have to be in descending order of those. Everybody has to call somebody upstairs. Okay? The last flimsy, the moment you've all been waiting for. For this one, I will come around the front. I wanted to show you what Fortran does inside, because I disassembled it, and I thought, gee, that guy's clever. I got to show somebody. You're it. The compiler 3 directives are shown to set this up to a particular area. And I set up 4 2-byte variables. Now I set I to 207. I is a 2-byte variable, so it does load H and L immediate with 207, store it in I. Now a J is 105. I don't have to load H. I know it's 0. So I only load L with 105. Store it in J. Saves a byte. I want to store into K 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, which I do. I want to store into L, and this is not the other L, this is this L. 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, decrement L. Yes. Apparently, he keeps track with a memory map of during compile time of what variables have what values. Completely erased if there happens to be a statement number or an inline code preceding that statement, because both of those could wipe you out. This is an example that I won't go into because it has a bug in it. And this was version 3.2, and this is why 3.2a came out. I said, gosh, there's a couple of cases where that won't operate properly. This was because I'd complained that he didn't support if J minus K 100, 200, 300. And he tried to be too clever with it, saving several bytes and making it not work. Finally, down here, output ED is equal to FF, exclusive ORed with input EB. And sure enough, 6 bytes, very compact, nothing fancier than you'd expect. The only thing I have to say about that is that I tried the same thing in Intel's PLM. It's 5 bytes because it does a complement A. They're very clever. They also require 65K to run, a disk drive, a disk that you switch in the middle of compilation to another disk because all the overlays don't fit on one disk. So if you want to get that in your hobbyist system, you can save a byte. I would love to have any questions from the audience at this time. Yes, sir.
I assume that a Fortran main program can call a Fortran subroutine.
Yes, sir. It is a call in, it depends on how many parameters you have to pass. If you're passing no parameters, it is a call. It is a 3-byte.
Okay, I'm assuming there's a general format that does not depend on the number of parameters.
There is a general format. It will be preceded by loading up the values of those parameters, passing them to the program, and then calling the program, calling the subroutine.
Okay, you have to pass the parameters through a global variable?
No, they are passed through a parameter statement. Call, able, parenthesis, I, J, K, end parenthesis, it's all taken care of. When you write subroutine, able, I, J, K.
Okay, what I'm curious about is what is the machine code just set up in? Such that if I wanted to write a machine code subroutine, it would
be available
by this
subroutine. Yes. It just stuffs them in the locations, and you could stuff them in the locations as easily in a machine language program. We have successfully written Fortran subroutines, which execute without a Fortran main program, because the main program already existed, basically, and we just wanted to do the fancy arithmetic in Fortran. I'll go on to somebody else now. Yes, sir?
Is there any problem in implementing Fortran on just any 8080?
It runs on American 8080s as well, yes. No, it... No, that is a good question. I shouldn't be flippant. It assumes, in the basic paper tape version, it assumes a console input routine, a console output routine, a reader input routine, a punch output routine, a memory check routine.
These are present,
well, are they present in your monitor? That depends. It does not give you a monitor.
Well, I mean, the assumption is that they're present in the monitor.
Yes, or that you write a set of simple routines that do them. Yes, sir. This man is from Realistic Controls. $750 for the paper tape version. At the convention, they are also showing a mini floppy disk unit that is $995, that includes a kit where you build the controller, plugs into an S100 bus. Doesn't everybody have an S100 bus? Runs a mini floppy, what can I say? Runs a mini floppy drive that comes with it, and the disk, and the documentation, and the cabling, power supplies. Yes, sir, in the back. Yes. I have not compared it to PLM in efficiency, taking your first question second, and aside from that one thing, there's been no real comparison. The other question was, how much memory does it take? Were you here for the beginning of the talk? Okay. There's a runtime library that takes a maximum of 3K, a minimum of 0, depending on what you need. The compiler itself sits in 16 to 20K, depending on how much symbol table you need. The mini floppy system, as it's currently implemented, demands 24K, 20K for Fortran, 4K for the monitor, for the operating system. In the shipping version, which is expected in 45 days, it will be 16K downstairs, 4K upstairs. Yes, sir? Intrinsic and extrinsic functions. No. Well, wait a minute. I've got to remember my Fortran 4. I've just been getting back into it. There are no transcendental functions at the current time. By shipping time, we hope to have available a runtime library which can be read in and relocated to go with your program, which will contain the 370 standard routines. And I say 370 standard because the floating point format is 370 standard. A lot of this stuff was made to look like the 370. It also has You can say integer times one function, or real times four function, and have that type of function as well. Yes, sir? It only compiles the symbol table up there. It does not. It's a two-pass compiler, and as such, with 4K extra, I've never run out of space, and I've been running nothing longer than about 250, 300 lines. It takes the source code, it compiles it, it pulls out the symbol table is all it pulls out, and puts it onto disk, puts the compiled version onto disk. So all you have to worry about is your symbol table. Now, if you're using nothing but 31 byte long symbols, you're going to use the symbol table up a lot faster than otherwise.
Right.
But if you use... In just a RAM system, it still is a two-pass compiler. It goes through your paper tape reader twice. So it does not store it internally. Yes, sir?
What's the setup on variables like comes out of the 360 alpha as well?
Alpha.
Yes.
The formats for output that it allows are Z, X, A, alpha, F floating, I integer, X, X blank, R real, R. Pardon? No, not that I know of. No, there are a lot of little things. How about S for strange? Yes, sir.
When I come to execute a program, can the compiler be tossed off the system on the disk?
The question is, does the compiler get tossed off? The compiler gets wiped out. It doesn't get tossed off. It's still on the disk.
Okay.
When you compile a program, the compiler comes in, absorbs humongous amounts of memory, compiles your program in twice, sends the data out to the disk, the runtime program, out onto the disk in a hex format. The compiler goes away and you bring in your program. So all that space is available to you. Yes, sir? It is absolute. You can set it to any particular absolute address you want, but there is not, basically, that is done because there is an Intel absolute loader, which is the standard, Intel hex code. There is not a standard linking relocating loader, and an 8080 is not a position independent device. Yes, sir?
How much space on a mini floppy?
The compiler consumes 1/4 of the space. It takes up 16K of the space, of the formatted space. Now, that's not a complete detriment because you are able to pull the compiler disk out and load any disk you want in before running the compiler, and after it's loaded and before running. Yes, sir?
Does all the stores reside in memory to be compiled, or maybe
no. It is brought in from disk a byte at a time. Well, a byte, it's blocked. It's blocked. You know, it brings it in a block at a time and then sends it a byte at a time to Fortran. Fortran was originally written for paper tape, I think. It looks like it. Yes? The question is, can you do overlays with Fortran? And the answer is, it's not implemented as a Fortran function, but there's no reason why you can't do it in terms of the existing operating system. Now, that's going to be somewhat dependent on your operating system. So the particular operating system with the mini-DOS has all the hooks in it to support batch stream processing, which is effectively chaining. The other question involved the fact that a program can be made to relocate itself and my only answer is not very efficiently if you've seen the byte saver routines. There's a lot of extra memory required to do that. You don't have base register addressing, which is unfortunate. Yes, sir?
Yes, you compared it to Fortran 4 standard. How does it compare to the new ANSI Fortran standard?
Which new ANSI Fortran standard? Fortran 4? Fortran what? Is it ANSI Fortran 4 you're talking about? See, each one has a number. I think they're currently working on at least two. Six? I don't know. How does 4 compare to 6? That's how Fort 80 compares to 6. If there are no more questions, I'll turn it over to our next speaker. Thank you very much. Would you like an introduction?
I don't know.
Everybody knows.